Say again.
Pink and Blue Xbox Podcast. Welcome to episode 45.
Well done.
No one can have seen babies.
Thank you for that introduction, Abigail.
Should be reviewing games next.
Frozen Frenzy.
Whenever, at any time she sees that tile, it's like, ooh, can I watch that? No, it's a game. Ooh, can I play that? No.
No, I don't think so.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aaron, gamertag PG Monkey.
And I'm Katie, Fluffy Dragon 86.
And as our daughter Abigail said, it's episode 45. We're happy that you've come along to listen. In this episode, we'll be talking about Unravel, because we've played that one. Both of us. Yeah. Also, we take a look at Pure Pool and talk some news. And because it's Valentine's Day, hopefully when this comes out.
Hopefully, well, in case the world ends before that.
Yeah, exactly. Or might get into some editing problems or whatever. You know, things can happen.
You mean laziness problems.
Laziness might get in the way, yeah. We talk about what video games get wrong about love and sex. Because that was the title of someone's article online at The Guardian. What games have relationships? How do they go about them? How difficult is it to have a really good love relationship in a game? Exciting.
Exciting.
So we'll start then with some news.
Remedy Games have confirmed a bumper bundle package for their upcoming title Quantum Break, set for release on April 5th. Every Xbox One copy of Quantum Break will also include Remedy's former hit, Alan Wake, plus bonus DLC. Plus, anyone pre-ordering the game digitally will also receive a PC code to play on their Windows 10. Quantum Break will be supporting saves between Xbox One and PC versions.
Okay. So I think this is going to happen quite a lot in the future, where they're kind of the same animal anyway, in the Xbox and Windows 10. They should be highly compatible, and I think there'll be a lot of crossover now. A free PC code for your Windows 10.
So, download Windows 10, stop moaning about it.
Our computer won't take Windows 10, it barely takes Windows Vista.
Home edition.
But Alan Wake's good. Free Alan Wake, that's alright, and a couple of DLC packages in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not too bad.
If you like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Trials HD has been added to the Xbox One backwards compatibility list.
All right.
We'll pause for a moment while Aaron does a celebratory lap around our front room.
Let's go.
Oh, God. Don't spill the coffee.
Awesome news.
He actually did a lap.
Yeah.
It's only a little room, though. Are you done?
Yep.
Also added to that list were Lego Batman, Sam and Max Beyond Space and Time, and Alan Wake's American Nightmare, given as a running total of 134 games.
Who cares about the other ones? I've now got Trials HD. Sod the others.
You've been waiting a long time.
I have. You? And we talked about it a couple of podcasts ago.
Did we?
Yeah, we said which games would be good. Did we? Like a month ago. But we said which games would we like to see, and one of mine was Trials HD. They must have listened. They must have heard us.
They're listening. Oh my God, we better behave. It's been a busy week at Ubisoft. Not only did they announce their latest performance figures, they put Assassin's Creed on hold for a year and said that Watch Dogs 2 will be expected to be released along with the new South Park and Tom Clancy Ghost Recon title and Swordfighting Epic for Honor all before April 2017. Better get cracking then.
That's quite a lot of workload, don't you think?
But they've got a year.
They've got a year. And they've put Assassin's Creed on hold.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we also said that in a podcast in November. You need to take a year off Assassin's Creed, we said, and at Ubisoft, they've taken notice.
Oh my God, they're really listening.
They are really listening.
Coming next month, at long last, is Super Hot to the Xbox One.
Oh, wow, really?
The Don't Move or Bullets Will Kill You first-person shooter was first announced as a future Xbox title by Microsoft back in August 2014.
Yep.
All we need now is Spy Party, please.
I don't think that's ever going to happen. But Super Hot, I didn't think was ever going to happen.
So that's the one, that's the one where if you move, bullets move.
The bullets
But if you stay still, the bullets will stay still. So you have to plan everything in advance.
Yeah.
Like a chess shoot-em-up.
Chess shoot-em-up, yeah. I kind of like to think of it as peep behind the curtain, that kids game.
We used to call it Red Letter.
Okay. except you're facing the person and they're shooting bullets at you.
Yeah, we used to call it Red Letter.
Okie doke.
Pig behind the gun. It must be a north-south divide, that.
I think there is, yeah. Let us know in the comments or tweet us what you used to call peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, what did you call that game where you had to have your back to everyone else and then run towards them before the other person turned around?
Yeah.
If they saw you, you're out. But yeah.
Why Red Letter? Why was it called Red Letter?
Can't remember.
I can understand peek behind the curtain because you're looking at someone as you turn around.
Because, the person at the front with their back to you used to have to... They had a word in their head and you had to guess the letters... In the word, like hangman. So it's a cross between hangman and what you're calling pig behind the curtain.
Right.
So if you got a letter right, you got to move. But the amount you moved was up to you.
Okay.
So you didn't just move one step for each letter. You could move loads or you could move a tiny bit. But if they saw you move, you're out.
Okay.
Yeah?
We wouldn't have had that when I was little because...
We couldn't spell.
We couldn't do moving and spelling at the same time. Shall we talk some Unravel?
Unravel,
so,
yeah.
Is it the most gorgeous indie game in the world, or is it a really crap puzzler with just lots of pretty ribbon around it?
It's beautiful, and right. It's amazing, and I wish it was longer. I'm seeing the end, and I'm thinking, oh, I didn't want it to end.
So you're a big fan, yeah?
I am a big fan.
All right. But you're right, it is gorgeous, graphically gorgeous anyway, we knew that already.
It's beautiful.
And it has, for me, it has a really good feel-good factor to it as well. It's one of these happy-go-lucky, really emotionally driven games. I think everyone kind of needs that kind of game in their collection.
Yeah, although it's really, like, brain-twisting. I don't know how to explain it. Like, you have to think about what you're doing. You can't just jump on and do it, like any other side-scroller game, like Mario, for instance, you would just jump in and jump around and have fun, whatever. You have to really think about it, but the music, the graphics, everything else is just so calming and relaxing. You kind of forget that you're using so much brain power to figure it out.
I'm sceptical as to how much you're figuring it out or how much you're doing it by luck more than judgment, because I think the puzzle aspect is probably its weakest point.
I like it.
Well, it's just, there are certain phases where I just felt where you were doing things just out of chance or you wasn't thinking logically because logic only gets you to a certain point and it worked in one level but it didn't necessarily work in another. It didn't seem to have that kind of flow with the puzzle aspect. But as a platformer, it's very good.
Yeah.
But I just felt the puzzle points weren't as strong as what they should have been, really.
I kind of see where you're at, but I really like it.
Yeah,
and I still really like the puzzle part of it. I don't find that it doesn't flow. I think it flows. For me,
okay.
It does flow. And I like the fact that each part of each level is a different kind of puzzle. You'll get, like, you know, a minute or so of just la-la-la doodling along, and then, oh, how do I get past this bit?
That's what I'm talking about. It's like... you'll go along and then you'll stop and you'll be...
Yeah, it is a stop-start game. Yeah. You can just be dawdling along, whatever, taking all the scenery in, getting attacked by hedgehogs, whatever. And then it's like, oh, wait, there's this bit, and I don't know how to get past it.
I do like the story that it's telling, though. The closer to home you are, the first level or so, it's all very fluffy and nice, and the music's really tranquil. And
it's very easy, nothing's going to hurt you.
And then the further you get away, more bad things start cropping up in your life. Those crabs start attacking you.
The crabs are funny.
You get frightened of a bike. These silly little things that, you know, recognise that the further you go away from home, the more in danger that you are. And that's a nice kind of...
Out of your comfort
Everyone zone. Can feel, you know, a something towards that. Everyone can relate to that.
Everyone has their comfort zone. Everyone's been out of their comfort zone and knows how that feels. And it must feel the same for Yarny.
Yeah. The only other gripe about the game I have is that it's got really weird space save points. Because the levels are huge.
Mm-hmm.
So a save point will be far away. And if you turn the Xbox off, try to go back to it, you'll have to do a whole lot of level again.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the next breath, there'll be like another save point a couple of yards down the road, so to speak. So I think they're a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Save points.
They're not spaced...
Regular intervals.
Equal intervals, yeah.
So if I was to push you for a 1 mark out of 10, what would you give it?
Out of 10?
Right, let's do it in stages. So for its graphics?
10.
I would give it a 10 also. Yeah. For the fact that it's a platformer?
9.
I would give it a 7. And as a puzzler?
8.
8. Yeah. I would give it a 5.
A 5?
5.
That's harsh. That's harsh.
So you've marked it 27 out of 30. I have marked it 10, 7, 5, 22.
Woohoo! It added three numbers together. Oh, so, 22 versus 27
yeah.
out of 30. I think you're being a bit harsh.
No, I don't think I am. I think I'm being quite fair. I think the puzzling aspect, like I say, is the... It's not the be-all and end-all of it, but it does come across as that is the weakest area of the game. Right, I also got Pure Pool, because I was pissed off at the inadequacies of Pool Nation effects, so I went and got Pure Pool. It's on the store for about £8, I think, and it comes with a snooker DLC as well, so I got that. Visually, it's very good. There's lots of variation. It's got a 40-hour career mode. That's RPG level.
That is RPG level, that's 40
shockingly
hours.
Shockingly huge.
Jesus.
And it has this...
Many coloured balls, get over yourself.
And it has a thing called DNA system, so it learns the way you play and then creates AI around that, which I think is pretty good. Kind of like Forza, what it does with their cloud system.
Yeah, with their driving thing. Yeah.
A Drivatar, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. But on the negative sides, the control system's a bit tricky. The spin physics seem a little bit awkward. But overall, I'm enjoying it. I've only just got into it. It's okay, and I would give that, if I was marking it, as a platformer, 0 out of 10.
As a puzzler?
As a puzzler. Actually, it has got puzzle elements in it. I would give it a 3. As a pool game, I would give it 10.
Which is what it actually is.
Which is what it puts itself across as. So, yay.
You're a bit harsh.
As Ice Cube said, I am the wrong nincompoop to mess with.
Did he say nincompoop?
He said something, an N-word of some sort.
An N-word?
Yeah.
I don't think it was nincompoop.
Okay.
I think your mum got hold of your copy and dubbed herself over the top.
Yeah. He was the wrong nincompoop to mess with. Right, what's love got to do with it? Why video games get things wrong about love and sex, Katie?
I don't know.
Well, this is the question that an author on The Guardian, a lady by the name of Kate Gray, is trying to answer. And she's basically said that we don't do a good job in the video game industry of portraying a natural love and sex relationship. Why?
Why? Because it's a game.
Right.
And it's difficult to put feelings into a game.
But some games have tried and succeeded. Final Fantasy did a pretty good job. Apparently, all of those relationships ended in pretty tragic circumstances, but
just like real life.
Yeah. Dragon Age Inquisition does quite a good job. In fact, most Dragon Ages do. Mass Effect. There's even some relationship stories in Fallout. It's not the end game, is it? A relationship in a storyline isn't the driving force behind you playing a game.
No, not usually. So that's probably why it's not as realistic, because it's not like a movie, is it? Like, not all movies, but a lot of movies, that end game is to get to the person they love, and, you know.
Yeah. Your favourite love song? Love song?
My favourite story.
What's your favourite love story?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That is my all-time favourite love story ever.
It's a very, very good film.
And it's amazing. And, yeah. And it's all about the love story. And that's all it focuses on, and it does it well.
Could that be a video game?
No.
No, exactly.
Definitely not.
Absolutely not. Where would you even start with that in a video game?
Maybe the scene where she's running down the road and her leg falls off.
A leg falls off?
Yeah. Have we not seen that bit?
No, can't remember that bit.
He's like...
Is she Heather Mills?
His memories are being erased. And
right.
And his memory of her walking down the street is being erased. So as she's walking down the street, she's suddenly only got one leg.
Okay.
And then, like, bits of trees start disappearing. And, you have to look for all the little details in that film. It's brilliant.
Okay. Sims. Is that a good example or a bad example?
That's a really bad example.
That's a really bad example. What, when you're just pressing buttons to make people like each other?
Yeah, because, like, you can go from being someone's nemesis to being their husband in a day.
Yeah. Can't that happen in real life?
No. Not unless you've got one of them angry relationships where, you know, it's just not right. But it just, it's not a good example.
Okay.
It's not a good example of anything realistic, is it? It's a fun game, but it doesn't portray real life very well.
No.
If your baby cries for more than 5 minutes, the social services take it away.
Dating sims are a terrible example of relationships. A lot of Japanese games do this, like dating sims, where you have to build up your character and flirt with a girl, and eventually she'll, you know, take off her bra or something. But it's always sex-driven, you know. So it's these are awful games to highlight love and relationships.
Just go out in the real world. Just go out in the real world.
Yeah.
Be nice to women. Maybe they'll take their bra off for you.
There are games, like I say, that have had a good kind of emotional journey through it. But really, none that I can think of that excels at love. Because, like I say, I mean, I find it difficult to express love. I love mushrooms. I love Chelsea Football Club. I love you.
Oh, thanks. I'm third on the list.
No, I'm not finished yet. I love our daughter. I love our family and friends. Right? And I can't tell you. Because
I'm third out of five. And our daughter is fourth. Thanks.
But I love them all in a weird and wonderful and vast and various way.
I know.
And it's difficult for me to put that down into words as to why I love them all, but it just happens. It's a natural occurrence. It's organic from mushrooms.
I like how mushrooms came first.
I was just talking in my head. I should have said in no particular order.
You should have, yeah. You didn't,
yeah,
though.
Okay, I didn't.
I love winding you up.
The point is, I can't translate that onto paper, let alone a video game.
So let us know what you think, if there's any games out there that you've played that give you the feels.
The feels?
The feels.
The feels, yeah. Or the feels?
Feels.
What does that mean?
Like, when you feel all, ah.
That's the feels, is it?
Yeah, the feels. Ah, okay. Oh, that's nice. Ah. Oh. The feels. Yeah, let us know what you think, if there's any games that give you the feels.
Tweet us at pinkandblue360. Tell us what games do the best jobs of love and relationships.
Yeah.
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 Or the feels, as
the
you
feels.
Put it. We got to give a shout out to the Agony Uncle Brothers.
Agony Uncle Brothers, yeah.
Yeah, who have recently just started some YouTube streaming. They are Newton and Toby Faulkner, who you may have heard of.
Go and check them out. It's quite a good watch.
Anything else you've been playing since the last pod?
Just Call of Duty.
Just Call of Duty. You're going through the motions now?
No, I'm really still liking the new one.
Right.
But it would be good to have another one.
Well, you've got to wait till November.
It's a long time.
It is a long time.
I'll be well bored of it by then.
I imagine you would too, yeah. Got to shake it up a little bit. You've got to play a bit of Black Ops 3, then Advanced Warfare, then Ghosts. Got to do the trilogy, man.
Yeah, but it's not just me, and you have to convince everyone else to play them.
Do
as
it.
Well.
Been told.
All right, thanks. He has spoken.
Husband has cracked whip.
What have you been playing then, husband?
I've actually been delving back into golf games, Rory McIlroy, a little bit. Because they added a new course. And I got season 2 of The Golf Club, which have added a few new features, details, etc, etc. So I've been playing a bit of them. Been trying to do a little bit more Fallout, which has been going sporadically and with not much attention focused to it. I'm too distracted by many, many things that I see in Fallout, and it'll take me a while. I'll get there. I will get there. So
you should watch Toby Faulkner plays.
Actually, yeah,
it's just as bad.
That's why I
he gets distracted.
That's why I didn't want to watch the stream the other night, because he was doing the Brotherhood missions, and I'm not quite there. And I have met Paladin Dance, but I haven't done any missions yet. And that's what missions he was doing, so I didn't want to spoil it.
Okay, spoilers! So,
yeah, spoilers!
Spoiler alert!
Right, I think that's about it for this episode. Thank you ever so much for listening. If you'd like to tweet us, we are at PinkAndBlueFreak60.
And you can also search for us on Facebook. Just search Pink and Blue Podcast.
Yeah, we've got a group and a page.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look for them both. Get all the news.
It's the same news. I just control C.
You just
control
get it
V.
twice. Yeah. What else?
I guess
where
we
else
can,
are we?
Well, we're everywhere.
We're all over the internet.
Everywhere where there's a decent podcast app, you will probably find us.
Just Google us.
Yeah.
Pink and Blue Xbox Podcast, and we will turn
be
up.
Right there.
We'll turn up. We'll
somewhere.
Be there. On your doorstep, we'll be there.
We're going off now because I'm going to see if I can create a relationship out of someone that I hate in The Sims.
Find your worst enemy.
Find my worst enemy and see if I can turn them around in a day and marry them and have babies with them.
I bet you it takes a day.
A day, you reckon?
The most.
A day.
A day.
What, a day in real time or a day in Sims time?
No, in real time.
In real
Sims time.
In real time? Of course it's going to be easy.
Oh, well then, day in Sims time, that's like 2 minutes. Good luck with that.
We'll see you another time. Bye-bye.
Bye.